current speaker is one of our most accomplished public broadcasters. He's been broadcasting for 40 years. He's had all the top jobs on the BBC. He's worked on the World of One, the World This Weekend, 1 o'clock news, and for 10 years he got up at 4 in the morning, presented the Today programme. He appeared on the celebrity tragedy edition of Mastermind, where he was quizzed by his old friend John Humphreys, who asked for his name, and said, "John, why do you need to ask that? We almost sleep together." He is Edward Sturton, and his new book is Confessions.
Can I begin by getting something off my chest? My entrails are gnawed with envy at the way Boris Johnson is clearly trying to promote Anjali's book. And that's my link. Is that accepted? That's right. Thank you very much indeed, Harry, for making me sound like a person of consequence. It's especially valuable to me because every time I stand up and talk about this book, I am driven to the inescapable fact that writing a memoir, not a memoir like Fawley's about her family, but a memoir like mine about myself, is an act of monstrous vanity. I came off the rails, if you like, as a result of an encounter with a very old friend who, by way of a kind of hobby, has a very successful writing career, but by way of a kind of hobby, writes obituaries for one of the big papers. And at a book launch, appropriately I suppose, he confided in me that he'd been asked to write the obituary of our host. And then he said, "I offered to write yours too, but was told you'd already been done." Which opens up all sorts of questions. Did I care what was in it, since I'd never read it? Had I in my mid-60s done everything it was worth me doing? Could I prompt the obituary's editor into the cost of a rewrite by doing something new? And that's what got me going. And I assumed it would be a doddle writing about yourself. How wrong I was. About 10 years ago, I got a wonderful commission from the BBC to retrace Mao's long march across China. And the producer and I wanted to investigate the Battle of the Luding Bridge in 1935. So we travelled right up to the far west of Sichuan province, quite close to the border with Tibet. And we were offered for breakfast a substance which was labelled stewed sheep miscellaneous. And I realised my life looked a bit like that when I turned down to run to take stock. A sort of gloop with a few interesting bits floating around in it, and quite a lot of very unappetizing bits too. And I had to work out which bits to put discreetly on the side of the plate, and which ones to saute into a kind of passable narrative. So it was a learning curve. The lessons, of course, are no good to me because I've done this and I'm not doing it again. But I thought I'd just offer them briefly to you in case this wonderful lunch has tickled any of you to creativity when you get home. Item one, you need a really tough-minded editor or friend, or actually in my case, spouse, who lives in the world, the real world, and is able to stop you looking like a complete prat. In other words, someone who will say to you, "The details of what you did with the Elizabeth Arden cream when you got frostbite in your, dare I say the word?
Yeah.
Todger.
Yeah.
Really, really, the world does not need to know." Item two, remember the difference between an autobiography and a memoir. Politicians write autobiographies. They are inordinately long because politicians think we're interested in everything from their potty training onwards. And they're desperate to persuade us that they were right to fight subsection 3 of Clause 24 of an Act of Parliament that's long since dropped over the rib of history. If you've never run anything more important than your bath, like me, you write a memoir. Keep it short and keep it entertaining. Item three, if you have old diaries and letters that you plan to consult, have a very stiff drink before you read them, because you may not like the younger self that you find. My Cambridge diaries were way off the scale of pretentiousness. They were written on beautiful Florentine paper, bound in lovely marble covers, and they include sentences like this one. I was tussling with Aristotle when Oliver Ledwin ran and suggested a walk to Grantchester. there was much more of the same, and I was forced to conclude that I must have been a repulsive little turd. Item four, be prepared, short one this, be prepared for the fact that when the book comes out, it will feel like stripping in public, which, when you reach our age, perhaps is something to think about a bit. Item five, negotiating the name-dropping issue. This is really important, quite a tricky one. You obviously want to give the impression that you are on easygoing first-name terms with the glamorous and the great. People like a bit of gossip in the book. But equally, you don't want to leave them with the feeling that you are an unreconstructed snob. So I gave myself a kind of a rule of thumb, which was only tell a story if it's got a bigger editorial point, and that way you won't appear to be showing off. So, for example, I had what I thought was quite a good little anecdote about a country weekend with a Tory grandee when I was presenting the Today programme. It was in the Duncan Smith years, and our host was no fan, and late on Saturday night, over a very good glass of port, he said, things have reached such a pass that, frankly, it's time to send in the butler with the brandy and the revolver. A couple of days later, he was fingered in the papers as being part of a plot to unseat Duncan Smith. And Central Office sent him out onto the Today programme to kill the story and profess undying loyalty. As ill luck would have it, I was the interviewer. So what could I do? I mean, bringing him up short by saying, you lying toad, only 2 days ago I saw you in your cups and you were wishing for a swift political quietus, seemed like a rotten way to say thank you for a very jolly weekend. So I bottled it. Anyway, the story sort of passed because it does illustrate, I thought, the rather complicated relationship between journalists and politicians and some of the risks of friendship between those two groups. I also had to decide whether to name the guilty party. And in the end, I decided to keep him anonymous. And that's because of the last item on my list, item six, which is don't lose friends. If you want to say something disobliging, keep the person concerned anonymous. I know there's a school of thought that says people love a bit of dirt, but I set out with the ambition that if somebody opened the book because they liked me, they would feel the same way when they closed it. Of course, people who open the book because they hate me will probably have the same experience, but there's nothing you can do about that. Now, you will notice that I haven't addressed the accusation I began with, which is that writing a memoir is an act of overweening arrogance. So here's my rather feeble attempt to do that. I've written a bit of Second World War history, and it's taught me the value of first-hand testimony. I did a book, for example, about the BBC during the Second World War, and the institutional story is all there in the files and the written archives at Caversham. Wonderful resource. But if you actually want to know what it was like to be in Broadcasting House the night that Charles de Gaulle strode in his shiny boots with his big voice and delivered his famous appel, the founding text of modern France, if you like, you need the diaries and the memoirs. Now, if you're writing about the 1940s, there's loads of that stuff around. But if future historians are writing about the email digital age today, I rather doubt they will find that. So many young people today live their lives online with pictures all the time and don't keep diaries and that kind of things. So earlier on I said that I was going to give you my lessons in the hope that some of you might be tempted to do something similar. And it was only half a joke, because I really do think that more of us that do remember our lives, the better. We may be the last generation that lived as experience rather than as a collection of data. So I say go forth, go home, and write, but obviously by my book first. Thank you.